A new essay in the latest issue of Adbusters magazine by Douglas Haddo paints a scathing critique of pornography, not as a moral diatribe, but from the perspective of a modern man deeply concerned with the negative effects of pornography on men as a result of isolating overconsumption and lacking any significant analog to feminism. The essay, called Pornocalypse Now, opens with a well-known quote by George Orwell: "If you want a picture of the future, imagine a boot stamping on a human face forever." Haddo imagines, what if Orwell, instead of having written a novel called 1984, had been born in 1984 and a young man today? According to Haddo, Orwell would probably not be a down-and-out journalist, but more likely a disengaged copywriter, his dystopian prose taking on an entirely different shape and form. This Orwell might have written, "If you want a picture of the future, imagine a boot stamping on a woman's face." The increasing prevalence of so-called abuse porn, coupled with a decline in male sexual health, paints a bleak future in Haddo's essay. He muses that, quote, "What needs to occur now is the genesis of a new masculinism, a philosophy of a man that embraces the achievements of feminism and strives to reconnect with the real." Douglas Haddo is a writer and creative consultant with Adbusters magazine. I spoke with him yesterday about his piece.
There are generally two sides to the debate on pornography as we hear about it in the mainstream. You have the right-wing Christian conservative that's, you know, that can be afraid of sex and being, quote, sex positive. And then you have the liberals who want to pursue sex positivity and equate pornography with free speech. You also, of course, have the third perspective of the pornographer themselves, but you take a different view. What is that view, and how is it different from these sort of mainstream perspectives?
Well, I guess I'm just coming at it from maybe a more industrial perspective, looking at porn as a consumer product rather than something that's inherently dealing with freedom of speech or morality. Or I think I take like an amoral, like I don't really deal with the morality of it that much. It's more of just its effect on the consumer and its effect on maybe the nuts and bolts of sexuality, masculinity, femininity.
I wonder if many defenders of pornography, at least, you know, who openly defend it, sort of realize how hardcore pornography has gotten today.
I don't think they do. I think a lot of defenders are very kind of naive about what's up there. I've read a couple defenses, I mean, just against my article or in relation to it, where people are just like, you know, porn, you look at porn, people are having a good time, they're smiling, they're enjoying themselves. So, but if you look out there, there's a lot. It's a huge industry, and it's a global industry, and there's a global consumer, and there's a lot of pretty intense product out there.
I wonder if you've seen this, one of the video pieces by The Onion, the satirical magazine about pornography, saying that a new study done showing that pornography might lead children who consume it to come to the conclusion that sex is actually enjoyable, with the implication, you know, and there's a certain implication there, notwithstanding their satire. But again, there's the sense that today's pornography actually shows enjoyable sex. But you start your article with a quote by Orwell: "If you want a picture of the future, imagine a boot stamping on a human face forever." Why is that symbolic of today's porn?
Well, I think because abuse porn is like, I think it's growing, and it's growing on the internet quite a bit. And it's basically just an intense kind of, I mean, it is what it is. It's just very abusive and violent in nature. And I think that's the trend. And I think from a consumer's perspective, once people get conditioned to a certain amount of porn, they constantly need to jack up the intensity, no pun intended, and get more intense, more violent, more abstract. And so that's where I see porn going as the mainstream absorbs the natural porn aesthetic. I see porn going more towards abuse and shorter clips.
How does mainstream pop culture get influenced by pornography, as you just implied, but then how does that sort of feed back into the making of more hardcore porn?
I think porn is just very profitable, or definitely was up until credit crisis, and media in general for the last quite a while has been finding difficulty making money. And so you look at the porn industry and you look at how wild their profits have been in the last 10 years, and I think it's just natural for mainstream media to say, okay, how can we appropriate that? How can we integrate what they have? How can we integrate their product into our medium.
You, in doing your article for Adbusters, spoke with a porn star, Sasha Gray, and it was an interesting description of how you were essentially viewing one of her porn videos on the one hand and then actually talking to her on the other hand. Tell us about this conversation and how she sort of sees the role of pornography in society.
Sasha Gray is, I think she's very, she's obviously very pro-porn, but I think she's also a bit of an activist. She's an industry activist, and she's fighting for a union. And she has a very unique outlook on pornography, and I think she's quite inspired. And she mentioned to me how she gets emails constantly from couples saying, oh, look, you've done such great things for our relationship, et cetera, et cetera. And so she believes that porn has a positive effect on people's sexual relations.
And what do you think?
And I think that's definitely possible, but I don't think the majority of people consuming her product are couples working out sex issues. I think the kind of the figure of the isolated male is more probably the majority of her audience.
My guest is Douglas Haddo. He's a writer and also creative consultant at Adbusters magazine. He's written a new article in the magazine called Pornocalypse Now that we're discussing. You bring in the issue of male sexual health and how it sort of relates to the pornification, if you will, to borrow Pamela Paul's term, of our culture. Talk about what the danger is on the issue of male sexual health that I think a lot of people don't really know about today.
I think there's a few different dangers. I mean, not just for males, also for anyone who consumes porn. But it's just, I mean, it's pretty simple and just inheriting the aesthetic of pornography. If you're consuming porn constantly, when you do have sex with an actual person, you're gonna reproduce the aesthetics, and that's one effect. You're gonna think, you know, these moves and these behaviors are normal, but also I think you're just going to be more prone to consuming porn rather than interacting with other people. I think that's a huge issue, and I think if you look at what's occurred in Japan and the whole kind of otaku movement, I think that's definitely occurring here too. It's just,
and what's that? Explain that a little bit about what's happening in Japan.
Otaku is just it's individuals who experience, like, they're extremely isolated, and they live at home, and they're very obsessive, and just kind of mediated through porn and manga and et cetera, et cetera. But I think the idea is that they only experience life through media, and they can't relate to people in a natural physical context. They can, you know, you have examples of people only being able to communicate on the internet, whereas in person they, you know, they just freeze up. And I think pornography, in a sense, has this effect on males who are over-consuming it to do with their sexuality. I think that's one of the big dangers.
So there is a theory that the consumption of pornography leads to the emulation of what one sees there. So, for example, abuse porn can lead to greater instances of domestic violence or abuse in sex or even rape. But you think that it actually is the opposite?
Yeah, well, I don't think it incites the libido. I think it just makes men more passive, and it might make them more passively misogynistic, but it's not like an active, like, I'm going to go rape someone because I watch porn. It's more like, I'm just going to stay in and kind of live in my little fantasy world where, you know, I control everything. And in a sense, porn is very similar to video games because, you know, you can experience anything and control anything you want within porn and have any type of crazy sex and anytime you want. And there's no responsibility and you don't have to care about anybody else's feelings. And so it's kind of, you're getting a lot of males who are becoming conditioned to this form of sexuality.
Douglas, you say in your article that due to our toxic living standards and the prevalence of untested chemicals in the social environment, the male gender has recently entered into rapid physiological and genetic decline. What do you mean specifically?
Well, there's been quite a few studies that have discovered recently all these kind of genetic deficiencies that are occurring in the male gender rather than the female. There's a really, really good documentary called The Disappearing Male that anybody can watch online, and it details all the different diseases and just issues that are occurring in males specifically. And so
that result in lower sperm count, et cetera?
Yes, lower sperm count and genital birth defects, and male birth rates as well are declining. So there seems to be this we've entered into this period of decline where, you know, all these things are occurring to males, but not so much females. And I find it very interesting because it's very analogous to what's occurring with males in porn.
So at the same time that this is happening, more and more men are, and of course there are women who do it too, but in general, it's the majority are men, are consuming porn, particularly with the internet making it so available.
Yeah. And so I it seems pretty pertinent that, males are kind of falling apart genetically and then also isolating themselves in this kind of very unhealthy media atmosphere that's kind of destroying any sort of normative sexual behavior they might engage in. So I think there's a link there, definitely, and it's all to do with just a toxic atmosphere and how it affects male sexuality and the male gender, be it chemicals or media.
There's a lot of information about how chemicals like bisphenol A and phthalates and toys affect the sperm count of young boys. Certainly, some people are becoming more aware of this, but by and large, it's still very prevalent, particularly in the United States. I want to turn now to what you say near the end of your piece, Douglas, about what needs to occur now is the genesis of a new masculinism. What do you mean by that?
Well, I think, as I argue in the essay on the site, women have undergone this kind of revolution in terms of understanding gender roles and what have you. But men, on the other hand, have kind of been far more passive and less active in this. And I think in order for things to get better, men should take an active interest in what their role is nowadays.
And how have men responded, you think, to the feminist movements for the past several decades?
It's hard to generalize. I don't see much active acknowledgement of it. So it's just men haven't really responded to it.
Other than very sort of ugly responses that, well, if you're a feminist, you've got to be fat and ugly, huh?
Yeah, there's definitely like these very obscene or anti-feminist responses. But other than that, it's just kind of been, it's either that or like nothing, you know. Of course, there's lots of men out there who have responded positively, et cetera. But I think this is really, my point is really tied into consumerism and how traditionally masculinity meant that, you know, you were able to perform functions and do things and provide. And I think, the average person, the average city dweller anyways, isn't able to do that. The average male citizen in a large city is just kind of a consumer. And I think that's one of the things that I was getting at is, be active and create a new role for men in society and kind of rediscover that masculinity as well. Because obviously consumerism has been hit with a serious crisis and something's going to have to come out of this that pulls us forward.
So a new masculinity that actually embraces feminism.
Yeah, embraces feminism, reevaluates gender relations, and so like what is a man in the 21st century? You know, it's like what's occurred here. And I think the whole unemployment thing is really amazing, and how most of the layoffs have hit men rather than women due to women making less money in the workplace. And it's the perfect opportunity for men to reevaluate their role.
I also want to bring in the last couple of minutes we have, your earlier article in Adbusters that got a lot of response, Hipster, the Dead End of Western Civilization. And in this article, the sort of visualization of a hipster is a young white male, at least as it's even shown on the cover of your article. How much of what you talk about in that article is related to this other article on pornography, particularly on the issue of masculinity and male consumption?
Yeah, there's definitely a bit of a relation there. You can talk about metrosexuals and this kind of men being far more interested in fashion than they were 10 or 20 years ago. I think it's interesting. I was having a beer on a patio a couple of days ago, and a couple of these guys, just normal looking average guys, walked out of a store with a whole bunch of shopping bags. And I just kind of like, I couldn't imagine that occurring that often 10 years ago. But now it's way more natural for guys to be, just as interested in being fashionable as females. And so in a sense, yeah, there is this kind of masculine component to hipsterism as well.
And so the sort of overconsumption, be it of fashion or pornography, leaves little room in one's life for any sort of meaningful relationship to the world, if you will.
Yeah, it's just, you know, an obsession with the aesthetic rather than anything kind of material or active role in life rather than just consuming aesthetics. I think like hipsterdom is definitely just about appropriating and circulating aesthetics, and that's a sort of language that's developed. But yeah, in that sense, it is.
Douglas Haddo, I want to thank you very much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you.
Douglas Haddo is a writer and creative consultant with Adbusters magazine, where you can find his article. It's still on the front page of the website, adbusters.org. You can also read his blog at www.pblks.com, pblks.com. Special thanks to senior producer Alan Minsky for helping to produce this story.